Today, I'm on a long walk. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. You can see behind me the boardwalk and the amusement area in Santa Cruz. Down behind me here is an old railroad bridge. It's a misty day. There are very fine droplets of water floating in the air. It's not rain, it's just a mist. We're in a cloud. This is the marine layer gradually blowing ashore and giving us this moist environment. This is typical of this time of year in coastal locations around California. So I'm on this very long walk. Walking is good for us. If you analyze humans, we are well suited to walking. We're designed to walk. We are also designed to learn languages. Oftentimes I walk in nature. I take long walks in the woods, along rivers. I like to climb mountains, not big ones, mind you, but, you know, modest-sized mountains, hills, if you will. But there are advantages of hiking or walking in a cityscape because you get to see a lot of things. You interact with a lot of people. I find it very stimulating. That is, I see things and it starts the wheels turning. There's an expression. If you are thinking about something, you can say the wheels are turning. It's a metaphor for the mechanism of your brain going to work. When I go walking in the city, there is a lot more noise, and I have to cope with that. But that can be managed. So further down in this direction, there is a stairway which will take me across this railroad bridge and over toward the boardwalk. I'll continue the walk down there and then into Santa Cruz proper. That is, I'm going to walk into the downtown area and look around downtown. I thought this was going to be a stairway, but it's actually a ramp. Bicycles can ride down this, assuming their brakes are working. It makes this part of the town quite a bit more accessible. The trees right here are eucalyptus trees. These trees are not native to California, but now they're everywhere. You could say they're an invasive species, but their behavior is not invasive. They grow, but they don't take over. So we consider them a non-native but non-invasive species. There are a lot of plants that have been brought to California over the years that tend to take over. Two of them are my nemesis. Where we live, we have a lot of Scotch broom, which is a woody bush that can grow to 10 feet tall, and it tends to take over. The seeds get broadcast in the spring, and each year you get more and more of these plants unless you do something to mitigate it. The other plant that we get that I do not appreciate is star thistle. And this plant was brought here from Europe in fodder. That is, the ships came with animals, and the animals needed food, so they had hay. But when they cut the hay in Europe, they also cut some star thistle. These seeds were broadcast, and star thistle is a big-time invasive species. When we got our place up in the mountains, the entire side yard was just covered with star thistle. No one on that street had really done anything to try to get rid of this invasive species. So I worked on it for years. Eventually, I came upon a method for getting rid of star thistle that actually worked. So now, we have almost no star thistle in the yard, but it took huge amounts of work. So I've walked across that bridge. We are now under the bridge, so I can turn around and let you see that. This is the San Lorenzo River, and it dumps out into Monterey Bay. It doesn't always flow into the ocean. It's not a continuous flow into the ocean, but when the winter rains come, it does flow into the ocean. Right now, I doubt that there's a connection. There's probably a sandbar blocking water flowing. It's still quite early in the morning. It's about 8:30 in the morning. And so a lot of the businesses are not yet open. The boardwalk is not open. There are no cars in the parking lot related to the boardwalk. This is one of the gifts of being an early bird. In English, people frequently refer to themselves as night people or night owls. I'm a night owl. That's someone who likes to stay up late. They tend to sleep in. Or someone might refer to themselves as a morning person. That's a common expression. An older expression, very commonly used, is a morning bird. I'm a morning bird. I like to get up early. And of course, there is a saying that there's an advantage of getting up early because the early bird gets the worm. It's a saying that encourages people to get up early because there are advantages to getting up early. I really believe that. I've gotten up early all my life, and I enjoy this time of day, the quiet time of the morning before people get out and start the hustle and bustle. Hustle and bustle is a combined phrase, hustle and bustle, describing a lot of activity. Most cities have substantial hustle and bustle. When I first moved to Los Angeles, of course, I needed to go there and find a place to live. I have other videos on that. That was where I decided to live on a boat for a year. It seemed like a great idea. When I arrived in Los Angeles, I went to a hotel recommended by the department that I was trying to join. I was trying to get a position there. I had succeeded in getting a position there. And then they gave me advice where to stay. I can remember sitting on the bed of this inexpensive hotel with the newspaper. This was pre-internet. And in the newspaper, I was looking for an apartment. There were thousands of them listed, but they were all far away and they were all expensive. It was that experience that opened my mind to the idea that maybe another option was a good one, that is, living on a boat. While I was staying in that part of Los Angeles, I walked around early in the morning. That was when I discovered that my favorite time in Westwood, which is the little village where UCLA is located, my favorite time there is early in the morning, before all the hustle and bustle, before people start crowding the place. Well, we have arrived at the boardwalk. You can see the sign that welcomes us to the boardwalk. It's not open yet, but we're here. It will be open shortly. It's not my destination. This is going to be an epic walk that does not include the boardwalk per se. I'm just going to walk right past it. So by now, if you've been watching this video, you noticed I'm wearing a hat. So I have a previous video of my abortive attempt to buy a Panama hat. That is, I drove up to Yountville in Napa Valley to a shop that had a good selection of Panama hats, and they were closed. So yesterday, I was in San Jose. I was a substantial distance in that direction, and I chose to go to that shop. Now, this time I called them to get assurances that they were going to be open. Because of all the music from the amusement park, I chose to switch sides and get a little distance between me and those loud speakers. I didn't mind driving up to Yountville and finding them closed. These things happen, but I didn't want to do it twice. So I called them and they assured me they were going to be open late. Perfect. So I arrived and they did have an excellent selection. The funny thing about these Panama hats is the price range is extremely wide. You can get them very cheaply or you can pay a fortune. The salesman was very skilled. He immediately showed me a bunch of hats that cost over $1,000. And I immediately concluded that I might have been in the wrong store. Then he showed me hats that were $500. And I was still very concerned about the expense. Eventually, we got into the hats that were affordable. And that's where I have arrived. As I said earlier, the advantage of walking in a city or a suburban area, you get a lot of things to look at and think about. And right behind me, there's a red thing. Look at that beauty. That's a Vespa. And of course, that generates a story. One of the things my wife and I have really enjoyed doing is traveling together. And we've been to Europe together more than a dozen times. She would plan the trips for months. All the details were worked out. And then we would go to Europe and execute her plan. And of course, there were many details that she hadn't anticipated. So we had to vary from her plan to adapt to local conditions. One of the things we discovered when we were in Rome is that a boatload of people are riding scooters. It really surprised us how many scooters there were, and Vespas were chief among them. So during that visit to Rome and to Italy, we developed a fondness for Vespas. When I got home, I researched them online, and I considered the possibility of getting an old one and restoring it. I looked at the amount of effort and expense that would be required. And then I started examining the other alternative, which was to buy a new one. I decided on the new one. We had that scooter for years and years. We rode it. I mostly rode it by myself. Rarely did my wife ride on the back, but sometimes she did. She had her own helmet, and she was good at staying balanced on the back of that motor scooter. Eventually, we got rid of it because we were living in the mountains, and that freeway that takes us up to the mountains is pretty frightening to a person on a motor scooter. So it found a new home. I've walked away from the area around the boardwalk, and I've come up to the downtown area. This is Pacific Avenue. This is the main drag. That is, it's the main thoroughfare, the main street in downtown Santa Cruz. This downtown area is only a few blocks long, but it's chock full of places to visit and things to see. We've lived in this area for more than 15 years, and so we've been coming to Santa Cruz for a long time. What I can observe is that it has evolved, not in an unusual way, but in a typical way. Some businesses have closed, others have opened, construction occurs, but it's evolved in a continuous sort of a way. The trend for this part of Santa Cruz is construction. They are building more buildings. In this particular location, there's a big construction site, and they are building several huge apartment buildings. Apparently, the demand for housing in this area is great enough to warrant this kind of a construction project. The building that they are currently constructing is 9 stories tall. This store here is a long-standing store that sells old records, old books. They've been here for a long time. This business behind me, The Starving Musician, is a music store that sells musical instruments and sheet music. They have all the accessories that a musician might need if they were playing a musical instrument. Their emphasis is on stringed instruments, specifically guitars, but they're not open for another couple of hours. Behind me here is The Catalyst. It is a music venue. Again, not open this time of day. As we walk in this direction, one of the things I'm noticing is that the overcast is burning off. The clouds are evaporating in favor of blue skies, which will be the rule here in a relatively short time. This corner marks the beginning of what I think of as the downtown area. This restaurant here behind me was the site of a really good Mexican restaurant, and we went there often. For some reason, that business closed and it was replaced by a burger establishment. We've never been in that new restaurant. This was a site of a bookstore that sold used and new books. It was a fascinating place to visit, but it didn't survive the pandemic. The pandemic proved to be quite the stress test for businesses in a variety of locations. And many of the familiar businesses here did not survive the pandemic. Behind me, there was a restaurant before the pandemic that served vegan organic food. Now, when I saw that they were vegan organic, I was very interested in eating there. And then after we sampled their food, I was even more interested in eating there because the food was exquisite. It was a little expensive, but not outrageous. And we didn't go every day, but we went pretty much once a week. I can remember back in that era thinking that if someone had a business plan of producing affordable vegan organic food, that they fundamentally would have to work hard to survive. I figured that their costs and their need to keep their prices down would put them in a financial squeeze. It would be difficult. It was difficult, and the pandemic did them in. Now, we're coming into a place in Santa Cruz that was changed by a different natural disaster. And certainly the pandemic was a natural disaster, and it stressed a lot of businesses. It stressed a lot of people. But this area right here behind me, this building, did not exist prior to 1989. So what's so special about 1989? Well, the Loma Prieta earthquake occurred in 1989, and this area was severely affected. The buildings located in this setting right here collapsed. Records show 3 fatalities in this Santa Cruz area, and scores of people were injured. Okay, that expression, scores of people, a score is a relatively old term that means 20. So if you say scores of people, you're talking about groups of people that number in the 20s or multiples of 20. If I say scores of people, think in terms of 20, 40, 60, because that would be multiple groups of 20 people. The word scores shows up at the beginning of Abraham Lincoln's famous Gettysburg Address. He started out by saying, 47 years ago, and then he continued, 4 times 20 is 80, plus 7. What Abraham Lincoln was saying was that 87 years earlier, and then he continued with his story. So with the collapse of these buildings, a lot of businesses and a lot of people were displaced. They couldn't use their old buildings because they'd been either destroyed or severely damaged. These buildings were so severely destroyed by that earthquake, that they were demolished. And this is a new building that was built after the earthquake. Other buildings survived, but needed substantial repairs. California has a lot of regulations about building readiness for seismic activity. That only makes sense. If you build buildings which are very susceptible to damage from earthquakes, then you should expect a lot of damage and injuries, perhaps deaths, because of that. So the regulations require substantial readiness for seismic stresses. I've turned down a side street. This is Walnut Street. There are a lot of things on Walnut Street, and one of them is a favorite of mine. I had a big breakfast, so I'm not looking for another meal at this point. I'm not hungry, no. But I do like a good restaurant, and this one that we're coming up to is wonderful. It's also closed because it's so early in the day. Arslan's Turkish Street Food. I've been here many times. The food is exquisite, and they have a lot of vegetarian-friendly dishes. When I traveled in Turkey years ago, I remember that the meat dishes were center stage. The cuisine is heavily oriented toward very rich and delicious meat dishes. However, Turkish cuisine is also vegetarian-friendly. They have a lot of options available. As I think about the prospects of returning to Turkey, I would have to decide whether to maintain a vegetarian, vegan eating plan or whether to invoke the Paris rule. What's the Paris rule, you might ask? Well, my wife invented it, and that is when you're in Paris, you should eat like a Parisian. Any habits that you maintain at home could be relaxed in favor of enjoying the wonderful local cuisine. If and when I go back to Turkey for another visit, I certainly will eat some of their meat dishes. I'm back on Pacific Avenue. Things are starting to pick up. The stores are starting to open, and a lot more people are on the street. The vibe one gets right now is very typical of Santa Cruz. A lot of people moving around quickly, a lot of people window shopping, a lot of people looking for a good place to eat or have some coffee. We're coming up to a place that was typical for a particular street performer who liked that place on the street to perform. I don't know if he still performs or not. He's a little older than I am, and quite frankly, he may have retired. So I don't post video of performers and people because our purpose here is language learning. But this fellow is a very interesting fellow, and many a day I saw him right here playing an accordion. But he's no ordinary accordion player. Now, because of the magic of YouTube and the internet, you can actually take a look at what this fellow does because he has posted a lot of videos of himself performing. I'm referring to the Great Morgani. The Great Morgani is a fellow who lives here in Santa Cruz and is a very, very good accordion player. But he also makes some very interesting and peculiar costumes. So he would set up in a location and play music dressed up as the strangest creatures. If you want to take the time to take a look, a quick little search, you'll find him, the Great Morgani, an amazing fellow, a good musician, and a very nice guy. He would step out of character and talk to people. He has a deep baritone voice. And sometimes that didn't quite match the appearance of his costume. I haven't seen him since the pandemic. According to the internet, he still performs. One of the things I have not encountered this morning, so far, is any street performers. They will be here later in the day, no doubt, but at the moment, I see no street performers. There is a location right here that is a common place for street performers to set up. It's a very wide place in the sidewalk. There's plenty of room for people to gather, and it's a favorite place for street performers. We're going past the theater, the cinema, right here. It looks to me like they're under some sort of major renovation. A couple of businesses here didn't survive the pandemic. I lament that. It was a good office supply shop. I enjoyed going there. It's fun to look around at an office supply shop. So right here we have a food kiosk. It's a miniature building right here on the sidewalk. And it's set up to sell food to passersby. Nana describes themselves as a farm-to-table source of food. Their cuisine harkens from Eritrea. So Eritrean cuisine and Ethiopian cuisine are very similar. And I've never been to either of those countries, but I love the food. The food in this food kiosk is great. They're closed, and I'm not hungry. So I can talk about it, but this isn't the time to start taking steps to get food. Here is a shop that serves the needs of surfers. They have all sorts of things that surfers might want to buy, wetsuits, accessories. Here's a sculpture. It's a memorial to a fellow who played here. He was a performer. He had a variety of jobs over the years, and he passed away in 1982. You can see him here depicted as someone playing a saw with a violin bow. So in 1982, when he passed away, we were not living here on the West Coast. I was living on the East Coast. I was actually in the Washington, D.C. area. So I never saw this fellow, save for this sculpture depicting his image. This is a location where another street performer spent a lot of time over many years. I don't know who he is, and I haven't seen him since the pandemic, but he would stand next to this statue and play the violin. He was dressed in casual clothes. He had an ordinary-looking violin. He had a music stand that stood in front of him, and it was always loaded with sheet music. He never stopped playing. He just played continuously. What I observed watching this fellow perform on the street over a period of years is that he got better and better at playing the violin. I used to joke to my wife about that when we encountered him. The joke was he was on the street practicing the violin. Practice makes perfect. He got a lot better at what he was doing. But times have changed, and he's not here at this point. Behind me here is one of my favorite locations, and that is the Santa Cruz Bookshop, the Bookshop Santa Cruz. This is a long-standing business here. It has a very long history with Santa Cruz, and it's a favorite location. When this area was struck by the Loma Prieta earthquake, the building was severely damaged, and they were displaced. They set up their bookstore in a temporary building, and they stayed in business. After the repairs were made, they were able to move back in. This is a fine business with a huge selection. I like to buy locally. You might be able to save a couple of dollars on a book by sourcing it with Amazon, but when you source with Amazon, you don't support local business. If we buy everything on Amazon, then stores like this won't exist in the future. I have been in this store and seen people look at a book, check the price, put the book down, go to their phone, price it on Amazon, and then leave the store. I have literally seen that happen. But I lament that. I would prefer to pay an extra dollar for a book and let these folks continue to exist. But that's just me. We're now in the north end of town, another half block, and we will have run out of downtown Santa Cruz. Like the other locations in Santa Cruz, this block has had the usual evolution of businesses. Some have closed, some new ones have opened. It continues to change, but I consider that normal. We've now emerged from the downtown. We're at a confluence of roads. This is where Pacific Avenue meets Front. For most of their journey through town, they are parallel, but then they come together at this confluence of roads, this intersection. We're at the main post office. I consider myself a frequent flyer. The expression frequent flyer has been lifted by popular culture from business usage. If you use an airline, of course the airline wants you to continue using them. So most of the airlines seem to have incentive programs where they log your miles and then give you some benefit in exchange for using their airline consistently. We refer to those miles as frequent flyer miles. That term of art was created by one of the airlines. It was picked up by popular culture and by other airlines, so people refer to frequent flyers. We can use that expression anytime we want to tell someone that we are a frequent visitor to a place or a frequent participant in some activity. So with respect to that post office, I'm a frequent flyer. I go there a lot. This area here is the San Lorenzo River Valley. This particular portion of this valley is not currently full of water, but in flood times it would fill up. The actual riverbed is further over. So this has been a survey of a walk through Santa Cruz. Hopefully you find that it is similar to and representative of a visit yourself. So it's time for me to walk back to the car, which is a short distance from here. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.